Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
That was our new intro song made for us by Randall Marsh.
Thank you, Randall.
You rock. That was awesome. I specifically asked Randall for the Sam from Clarissa Explains It All riff at the end, and he nailed it.
Oh, okay. That's so, where it comes from.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. So we're sneaking into your window and sneaking into your ears on Two Bards Podcast.
Yeah.
So this is our seventh podcast.
Woohoo! Lucky number seven.
Lucky number seven.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes. And by baby, I mean me.
Hey, I just got new shoes. Check it out. You can't see those, but they're
nice and they're stylish.
They're kind of stylish, yeah.
Yeah.
A little skateboardy, a little skatey. Is skatey a... They're not scatty, they're skatey.
No, they're kind of... Sketchy. No, they're not sketchy, they're nice. I mean, they are nice.
My old shoes were sketchy because they were Skechers.
And they were religious because they were very holy. They were your Sunday
shoes. Really, really fucked up, dude.
No, I actually like those. And now they match your shorts.
That's true.
And they match my shorts.
Covered in blood and shame. I'm not swapping shoes with you, dude.
Our deepest and sincerest apologies for being 2 days late with this.
I'm not sorry.
I am.
You know, no. You know why I'm not sorry?
Why?
Because you were out pressing the skin, shaking hands.
Yeah, thank you for following that up.
That's what it means. It means pressing skin. Yeah, pressing, I don't know. Not the flappy bottom skin.
PixelVixens.com. Pressing the skin means something totally different. By the way, hi, girls. Love you guys.
Anyway, you were out doing good works with C2E2?
Save the Children. No. Yes. C2E2. Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo.
Oh, yeah, I see what they did there.
Yeah.
That'd actually be 2C2E, but whatever. We'll let it
slide. There you go with C2E2.
All right. So, good job, and we're late, but as a treat for you guys for putting up with us being late.
Not one.
But two interviews with the Moors.
Hey, we promised the Moors.
We brought you the Moors on the high. I don't really know. Were those like swamps?
Yeah, the Moors are foggy swamps with will-o-wisps.
We brought you some foggy swamps, and you can listen to them now.
I'll roll for you.
Okay, great. And since we don't edit anything, we'll just cut right in.
That's great. I'm excited.
That other voice that you hear, is that of Sarah Moore? She is one of the Two Bards, One Mic guest interviewees of the week.
I'm very excited about it.
And I'm going to let you introduce who you are and what it is that you do, even though we've given you a shout out in five of the six episodes that have currently aired.
I write and produce and act in a web series called Gamer Chick. And it's super fun. That's my story.
This is going to be a harder interview than I thought.
I'm going to make you work for it. I'm going to make you work for it.
How is it that you and I became acquainted? Because it wasn't on Gamer Chick.
No, it was not. I believe the first time I met you was at Gen Con last year, so 2012, shooting Gamers 3. Is that correct?
That is, to the best of my recollection, correct. Yes.
I think that's real.
That is, in fact, a fact.
That's true. This is the best interview ever, you guys.
And then, I've never done an interview with an audience, so this is a little surreal.
With people hanging out watching.
Although I have suggested to Andy that we should rent out like the, I won't say the name that I want to say, but the Eclectic Theater, where we will be doing two rooms.
Right.
And have a podcast, Andy and I there, and have a live audience where they could ask questions or just watch us do our thing, since they can't watch at our official studios in Seattle, Washington.
Right. Because that's your bedroom, right?
It is a bedroom in the house, but it is my office. Thank you. Andy so is welcome
in my
bedroom.
You let people come in and watch in your bedroom.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm setting parameters.
It's about as much fun as watching the grass grow or paint dry, but they are more than welcome to come watch in my bedroom.
Perfect. So everyone has an invitation now. Yeah. Who is listening to
come
this?
Come knock
podcast.
On my door.
Nice.
Right below the podcast here is my address.
There you go. Perfection.
And you are currently in a Kickstarter campaign for funding GamerCheck, or is that done?
It has just finished, and we were successful.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's very exciting. That means that we can do things like have food on set, which is really exciting.
You mean crafty for the actors, yes, while they're acting? Not correct. Because I've seen the episodes.
Yes.
All of them to date.
They all have food.
And they have food in them.
They do.
And so I'm assuming that wasn't added in post as CGI or anything.
It's real food.
Okay.
However, the actors do get really mad at me because they all want to eat all of the baked goods that I put out there, and they have to wait until we are fully done with each scene before,
yes,
they can.
Yes, continuity.
Yeah.
Is the Achilles heel of all good, yeah, film productions.
And a couple times I've had to bake cakes on set while, mm-hmm, we're filming, and so it's the whole place smells like, you know, like warm chocolate cake. They're like, when are we eating that? Are we done with the scene where we need that yet? Yeah.
No, not yet. Another 2-3 hours.
Yep.
We have a couple more setups to do.
Indeed.
And you are going to, well, let me back up. So I have watched, frustratingly, only episode 2 of season 2.
Yeah.
But your Kickstarter,
yes,
if memory serves, was for season 4.
Yes.
So I'm confused, as we have talked about all this weekend.
Damn math. So season 2 is we're in the middle of releasing it. Season 3 has post-production work that needs to happen. So it's already been shot, and we are just in the process of doing all of the post. However, all of the post-production is done by my husband, just one dude all by himself. And that takes a surprising amount of time.
Yes.
As it turns out.
Andy and I are slightly familiar with the, yes, amount of time post-production takes.
Yes. The Kickstarter covered shooting of season 4 as well as all of the post-production and things that we need on season 3.
Excellent. And the nice thing about that is that when people are hearing this and you're working on the things for the Kickstarter, you're going to still have stuff to put out.
That is correct.
Unlike another production company that I know that waits a while in between each season to do that.
Well.
And that would be more frustrating
that, yes,
for the following fan viewership.
Yes. Well, hopefully that since we have a little bit of a backlog, we'll be able to continue releasing in a more steady fashion. There was, yes, kind of a big break that we took after season 1, in the middle of season 1.
And sometimes that's needed.
Yeah. I think it was like we had released 8 episodes of the 11 episodes that were in season 1, and then we disappeared for a long time. And then we were able to finish releasing season 1. Just things, life got in the way. You know, children and other, mm-hmm, projects and all this stuff, and it just sort of took over. And then we finally released the rest of season 1. And then people started showing interest and wanting to see season 2. So we were like, yay, we've already shot that. We can start releasing that. We've been able to bring people on board to do some of the jobs. Like, we got an editor.
Nice.
Instead of having Jeff having to edit as well. So, right, so we got an editor. And then we got, I think, maybe we had somebody help with a few shots of post. Is that real? Jeff is nodding his head. Yes, we had a couple of shots that we were able to, like, farm out. So we're just gathering help as we start rolling along. So,
and there was a big technology jump between season one and season two as well, yes. as is like a lot of web series, because yes. you start out and you're like, this is something we want to do. Is it going to work? Okay, let's just try it. Mm-hmm. And then it does. And the writing's good and the acting's good and you have a following and it's like, okay, now, yes, yeah. we can go to the next level. And season two introduces a lot of that next level.
Yeah, season one was shot on, I think, some paper with crayons and yes. And approximately $8 that we had in our pocket when we started. And season two, the tax return fairy was very good to us.
Yes.
And we got a new camera, which I'm going to let Jeff talk about because it's technology and I'm bad with that. But we also got these nifty things called lights.
Ah, yes. Illumination.
And sound equipment. All of these fancy things.
Yes.
So it looks a lot different. Season two looks a lot different. But we kept, I think, the feel of the show consistent.
Yes, definitely.
It just looks much nicer.
Yeah. So. And while looking nicer, one of the nice things is the resolution bumped up, so you get a much larger picture.
Yes,
which is nice.
So you can sort of fill your screen with it on your laptop instead of just watching it in the small little window that you would get on YouTube or whichever other place. We were on Blip TV, maybe. Season one was on Blip TV, but now we are on YouTube and on Zombie Orpheus, but I believe Zombie Orpheus links to the YouTube?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how that works.
In the new Zoe 2.0, which we'll be launching soon, we have a new player.
Ooh.
That will have a main window, and on the right-hand side, it will pull up whatever the featured video is. And then on the right-hand side will be a list of all the properties that Zoe helps to distribute. Oh. And when you click on that, you go down to GamerCheck, click on that, and then the first episode of GamerCheck would appear in the player window. And from your YouTube playlist, you would have then all of the episodes that you can scroll through and pick all of those. And they play right in the player and you don't have to move to any other pages. And it's a very slick application that also downsizes. So if you're on a large HD monitor on a desktop or on a Surface or iPad or iPhone or any other smartphone, they will shrink up. So it works. Trying to think of the name that we use now for that. Responsive. It is a responsive player. So it responds to whatever digital device you're using.
Cool.
So it's pretty awesome. And then you also helped out. Was that your neck?
That was my neck.
Okay. That was not a chair, folks. That was an actual neck. Just let
I'm
you know.
All right. Okay. I'm still Good. Here.
You're still here. You're focus up here. There you go. Okay.
Whee.
Good. Pupils are not dilated and responsive. Excellent.
Okay.
So then in addition to that, you also had your own film recently that you had a big screening for.
Yes, it was not a film that my company produced, but it was a film that I was a major player in. It's called Ingenue. It was produced by Karmic Courage Productions, and it was a sci-fi film about a human analog or a clone that was found in a box in the basement. And I got to be the clone, so I spent some time of the filming hanging out in a box in the basement.
As I'm somewhat familiar with, because sure. apparently one of my characters is hanging out in a plastic bag, assumed dead in a basement.
Sure. So well, you know.
Maybe we'll wrap up that
perhaps.
Loose end
That'll
at some
perfect.
Point and I'll come back. Who knows?
I feel good about this.
I'm hopeful. I don't know how good about it I feel yet, though.
Yeah.
Is there anything else now that you have a microphone that reaches out to tens of people,
that
you would like to say?
I'm really excited to work on Glass Cannons with you guys.
Yes.
That's going to be super fun. And I'm hoping, I submitted a script and it has been approved, loosely approved with, I need to lengthen it a little bit, but, we're hoping to work out the schedule so I can steal you to come out and,
what?
And come play.
Me?
Yes, you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first, I can't even keep a straight face. So happy to say this is the first I'm hearing about it. This is breaking news. No.
No. Yeah.
But I am truly honored to be thought of for that.
Be super. And it would be great.
It's an awesome character. So
I'm excited to do that. And I don't know when the deadline is, but we're looking to maybe shoot that this fall. So
sweet.
Lots of
currently
good
my fall time. Is available.
Yes.
By the way.
Yes.
So oh. I will not be holding this up.
And the next, yeah. So if something happens, it's clearly on our end.
Also, Ben, if you happen to be listening to this, I have a prior commitment. So if Zoe is shooting anything, I'm telling you now, I may be booked.
I may have something going on. Also, I will be doing a guest spot on season 2 of 8 and 5.
Nice.
And that's happening in May, the weekend of the 16th. So I'll be heading out.
So while I'm going north to Canada, you're yeah. going south to Ohio.
Ohio. Over to Ohio. Is that the little south as well?
Like I said, I'm geographically challenged.
Yeah. That's all right. Okay. We still like you.
Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to be doing that. I'm hoping to do a lot of...
Sorry, folks.
There's a lot of strange hand signals being flashed about.
ASL was not one of the languages I took in college, nor apparently was that one that Jeff took in college.
I think he told you to steal second.
Yes, I think that is exactly what he said. Happened. So let's see what else. So you helped out with Gamers 3
I was the one with the handprint on my face.
Right.
Yes.
But you also came to ZoeCon.
I did. And I had a handprint on my face there as well.
But not only did you predominantly provide backstage service.
I did. Yes.
That sounded inappropriate. Not only were you crew.
There it is.
And support staff for Gamers 3. Wow. If you could see my face, we have different colored socks over the microphones here, and my face is the same color as the red on this. You also were in it.
I slapped Brian.
In a number of different locales and locations.
I was all over the place.
My fun so far has been how many opposing scenes in the same... How many opposing locations are you in the same shot? Because there's one that I know where you are. No one else will. But at the Gen Con shot in the gamers area when they're explaining the game, I see you in your purple shirt. And then the camera pans back over to where we're all standing, where we shot somewhere else. And you're standing there in the queue line with everybody. And then it cuts back. And I'm like, wow, Sarah is... fast at wardrobe changes and location changes.
I move quickly.
Yes, I think that was one of your best qualities in the casting.
I don't want to waste anybody's time, so, you know.
And continuity is key.
Yes. Clearly, that is my biggest concern. Continuity.
At least you had the same haircut. I can't say that for everyone on the cast.
That's true.
Yes. Note to self, when you shoot one part of your movie in summer and the other part in late fall, make sure no one gets a haircut or face cut.
Shaves off their beard.
Yes.
When you need it.
Yeah. Let hair and makeup do their job. That's why they're paid the big bucks.
Indeed. Yeah.
Well, Sarah Moore, I think that's all the time that we have for now to talk on the podcast.
That sounds lovely.
Wow, but that was almost a complete English sentence.
Well, Shatner, I'm going to
okay. Cut it now. Cut it now. I cannot believe you went there. Wow.
I believe I was just you Shatner'd. Went there. I just called you on it.
Touché.
All right. I'm going to let my husband have the mic.
Okay.
Because I feel like he has some cool things to say.
He most definitely does. And also, oddly enough, he's on the schedule.
Also, my wine is waiting for me, so.
I have been drinking my water during this entire conversation. It has helped me get through it. So.
Yeah.
See, this is the problem. This is the problem Connor and I had. It was like, okay, this seems to be a good... No, I want to keep talking. You know, let's just, yeah, I said cut, but never mind. Let's just keep rolling.
Cutting's
let's
see what suckers. Happens.
That's right. No one likes a quitter.
That's right. You're just going to keep soldiering through.
So, should we sign off with a little soft NPR voice?
Oh, sure.
Would you like to talk about the weather in Chicago?
It's been a lovely weekend here in Chicago. It's been about 65 degrees. Light jacket if you need it.
And currently, Sarah Moore has performed a function with technology, and it is not going awry. Hello, and welcome back to part two of the guest interviews on Two Bards, One Mic. We're coming to you from the NPR studios of the Moore Casa. Casa de Moore.
Casa de Moore.
And we have switched genre and gender, and now have Jeff Moore.
So who are you then, Scott?
I am a impresario improviser and totally pooch punted that entire thing. So, yeah. Anyway, I guess I have to talk like this now.
That'll be good for the next 12 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Your turn, Jeff. Talk quick. Get me out of this.
We're pretty deep now. I don't know that there's much I can do.
No. So, Jeff Moore,
Hello.
Who is... the DP,
mm-hmm.
former editor.
Yes, thankfully.
Current post-production supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And soundsmith? Of GamerJig.
Yeah, that is true. I'm also the director, which is also a thing.
Oh, see, when Sarah lists everything off, I just assume writer-director because that's what I have a large... No. Predominant familiarity with.
And sure.
So
sure.
Yes, cinematographer and director.
Yeah. Sarah prefers not to direct, actually, which means it's a good fit for me. That's actually a more comfortable role for me anyway. So I feel pretty good about that.
With her not directing or with you being able to direct?
with my being able to step in that role that she is not comfortable with.
Yes. As an actor, I cannot imagine... trying to direct something and be in it. Hats off to Clint Eastwood, but he's got a little bit more experience than me.
Yeah, he's got a couple months of practice.
Yeah.
Seen it once or twice.
So in the previous interview with Sarah, she had alluded to some technology upgrades that went on during Gamers Chick and felt that you were more qualified somehow as the director of photography and director of the series to talk about.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Excellent. Because I can't. This would be a short podcast.
Great. The major differences, I think Sarah talked about really just us kind of replacing everything between seasons one and two. When we shot season one, I shot, it was a style choice, which is legitimate. This is not just an excuse. But I shot the real world sequences all on like a 10-year-old at the time, like Handycam kind of mini DV camcorder. And I shot everything handheld so that it would look like home video from the time, basically. And then I shot all the in-game fantasy world stuff with a newer, you know, 1080p fancy pants camcorder, and you know, I thought it'll be fine, different frame rates, no big deal. It was a gigantic headache, and it didn't give me quite the look that I was looking for on both accounts. I had a lot of freedom to just kind of run around in the real world, so we did get to do some pretty cool stuff camera choreography wise. But it was never exactly what I was looking for. You know, I was a cinematography major for a blink and a spell. And it was it always sort of bothered me that I wasn't quite reaching the vision that I had for this. Mm-hmm. I needed to get behind glass that I knew how to operate and that I could actually affect in some meaningful way. And those types of video cameras just don't have that capability.
Yeah, no.
So that's when we moved into the DSLR realm, mm-hmm. as I think so many other people are doing these days. Just because it's a comfortable place for me. That's how I shoot. I was a stills photographer first. So, you know, I've got a pretty in-depth understanding of how cameras work in general, and that has been very helpful in this instance too. So that's what we did. We shifted gears visually, and I just shot everything on that. And we were shooting on a Canon T2i, so basically a 7D without the HD live output.
Mm-hmm.
Sensor size is the same. Everything else is, for better or for worse, the same.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic pieces, where some of them might be metal on some of the other cameras, but other than that, it served us really well. That's what we've been shooting on since,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're going to be shooting season four on, and it's doing great. I love it.
So with the two cameras you were using in season one, then, were both of those fixed lens? Obviously the DVR was, that you were shooting, mm-hmm. the real world stuff, but was the camera you were shooting the fantasy sequences with also fixed lens?
They're... You know, there's that optical zoom that you have built in, and they usually have some sort of...
Right, but you couldn't go with a 20mm for this shot and a 50mm for that shot that you can do now.
Yeah, I would have had to drop in... I mean, there are ways to drop in, like, they call them depth of field adapters, and those... It's just so much of a headache. By the time you put one of those together and get the glass in front of it, you could just buy a new camera.
Right.
And I already was shooting on a Canon SLR, so I had a bunch of lenses that were compatible. So, you know what? We're just going to do this instead. Yeah. Save me a ton of headaches.
Yeah. And it, interestingly enough, going back and thinking about seeing the two styles, I did notice a difference, but I couldn't put my finger on it. So it's interesting to know that there were two different cameras shot for the two different styles and locations.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the newer stuff looks, well, I mean, obviously it looks better, but I mean, yeah. it still has, like we talked about earlier, the same feel, but it's just moved up a level in everything. And it really looks nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
it's much more what I feel like I'm capable of doing. It's much more in line with my vision as a director and as a DP. I want it to look interesting, and I want it to look good. So a clean image is definitely part of that.
Yeah. And then, in addition to being a fantastic DP and director of a web series, you also dabble a little bit in the game field.
I do.
Interesting.
Isn't it, though? Card game that I know.
What a setup. I did such a good job.
Yeah, and it's like when you're playing T-ball. The ball was there, and I lined it up, and I took my practice swings, and I just... knock the tee over. There's this card game that I had swimming around in my head for a few years. I remember spending days at one of my old jobs just working on this thing. And it was kind of cool. It was about making movies, you know. I was like, oh, I think this would be fun. You know, there's scenes, there's actor cards, there's funny things that can happen during the movie and everything. And it seemed like a cool idea. We play tested it a few times. There were a variety of problems with it. I'm not a game designer, so I couldn't really spot treat it the way it needed to be. So I just kind of let it sit on the shelf for a while, and I had a prototype deck just floating around, right? This last year at Gen Con, this is 2012, we did a lot of hanging out and gaming with a friend of ours, Eloy LaSanta from Third Eye Games. Excuse me. And he, we got to talking about games, and I said, hey, I have this idea for, you know, or he said, hey, I think it would be cool to do like a game about making movies or something. Or he had been thinking about it. I said, you know, I kind of made one, sort of. I never finished it, but I have something. And we started chatting, and within about a month, we had rules and we had the first version of the game basically put together. And we did some playtesting. We did quite a bit of playtesting, in fact. And we kept squishing and pushing and pulling and ironing out the wrinkles. And we got to a point where I feel like it's ready to go. And we rolled it out, I'd say, probably about a month ago.
Yeah.
The game is called Top Billing, and it's available through Third Eye Games website. I think Drive-Thru RPG also has like a... I don't know if it's the same company, I'm assuming. There's like a card, print-on-demand version of that.
Mm.
Which is probably a website similarly named.
Seth will find it.
Great.
Yeah. Seth Davis, please do your due diligence as you always do and save our bacon.
I know it's available through the Third Eye Games site for sure. But we did I think it's probably about over, but we were doing a downloadable version that you could download and print on your own. It was a very cheap version, so you can just play the game, learn it, mm-hmm. and see how you like it. And then there's also a print-on-demand version you can order. And I believe we're probably going to, sometime in the next couple months, start talking about raising money to get a first run printed so that we have boxed games to sell.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's actually been a whole lot of fun. And it's a way fun game, too. It's really simple and vague, and you can make it as specific as you want. And it really draws on the idea of, if you have any love for movies in any way, like, some of the tropes and cliches that come out are absolutely appropriate, and you'll catch on to them right away.
Excellent. I think I will be the judge of that, because I was promised a test run of the game this evening.
Yes. Yeah, the deck is here somewhere.
I don't care what time it is. I'm holding everyone to that. You live here. You don't have... Oh, sorry. I mean, we're at the studios, at the Moore Studios, and when we're done, I understand that this is very close to your living quarters.
It's like we live here.
Yes, because you're always working.
We're right? always here.
I know the feeling.
Good.
And what? I don't know how to wrap up. I'm not good at this. How much time have we wasted of these fine listeners' time?
11.5 minutes.
Oh, this is perfect.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, folks.
Yes, no. Since we don't edit, because as we've established, Andy and I don't like to work, you just get to hear all the backstage stuff. Normally, I would have a mute button, and I would have just said, oh, I'm sorry, I was coughing, and muted, but no.
I have mute buttons.
She just doesn't know how to use them, that's all.
I don't want to touch
anything. I'm hoping one of these mics are picking that up. Okay, well, with that and the continuing uncomfortable exits that I like to do so well, I need to learn from Andy. He's got a way of just wrapping these things up, and they're just perfect, and I'm going to have some more water.
This can be your bit. You can be uncomfortable exit guy. That's perfect.
Little does anyone know, that's the story of my life. And with that, TMI. I love live recording. That's so editable. Anyway, this has been Scott C. Brown and
Jeff Moore
talking to you from... What was wrong with... That was perfect. Why are we getting the peanut gallery reactions over here?
We finally built up some momentum.
I know, and then totally undercut by unruly viewership.
It's like loosening the bolts of the roller coaster.
Yeah. We were just so close. The finish line was there, and then I tripped. Now I've got to start all over again. Hi, this is Scott with Two Bards. No, okay. I think we've killed. I think, what is it? Schrodinger's cat? No.
Schrodinger's podcast?
Yes.
Schrodinger's if you don't podcast. Listen, is it actually there?
Let's hope so.
That was a lot of more.
That was.
Well, that was more than I expected.
Well, actually, that was only half the more that we could have had.
We could have had more?
We could have had more.
Well.
We thought two was a good starter.
Less is more.
Less is more, and there will be more opportunities to get more. Because
you don't feel remorse about that?
No.
Okay.
No, I like the.
All right. Well,
more opportunities to get more.
Más more. Well.
Sí, muy bien, muy bueno. No es muy pequeño, es muy bueno.
It's not very small. It's very good.
Yes.
Okay, I'll take it. All right.
Hats off to the Moors.
Hats off to the Moors. Oh,
there's only
great,
two people who are going to get that
great
joke.
Great in Othello. That's a different Moor. That's
different,
a different Moor.
Totally different
Moor. Totally different Moor.
And it's not something you do with a boat either.
You don't moor it?
Well, not the Moors that we had on the
interviews. I paid for moorage and then had some porridge.
And so
my boat's
Maury
in storage
Popovich.
At Maury Povich. I am the father.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
I don't even know what that was. I do a little bit, So this week, why don't you talk a little bit about Chicago? You met a lot of people there. Let's just go ahead and name drop some people that are probably more famous than us. Because, you know, what the hell, right? I figured maybe they'll share. Maybe they'll,
indeed. I think that we can certainly do that, at least with two artists.
Two artists.
That I met. And also helped put very small amount of food on the table, like maybe a graham cracker. One is Dave Acosta.
Hey, that's my family name.
And I love his website.
Mm-hmm.
DaveDrawsGood.com.
Well, that's...
He's the good, the bad, and the bounty artist.
Oh, so you guys know what we're talking about. Scott brought back this amazing poster of Boba Fett as Clint Eastwood's character from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, wearing the poncho. Beautiful, beautiful piece. Oh, man. Dave Acosta.
Yeah.
Writing that one
out. And a wonderful gentleman. Talked to us for quite a bit. Some great stories and anecdotes and just really a good down-to-earth guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah. There were a number of people there that I cannot name. There was one artist who Sarah Korn wanted to
get.
Hi, Sarah. Wanted to get one of her comics, one of her favorite comics, autographed by him.
Uh-huh.
And she had a couple. And she just pulled out her favorite one and she put it on the table. And we were getting ready to leave the line. And he says, oh, you have other ones. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, I just get the one autograph. And he said, no, you can bring a stack. That's what I'm here for. You want me to sign stuff? I'll sign stuff. So when we got out of line and through, I stopped by and I said, thank you very much for that. I thought that was really awesome. We do a lot of signings where we don't get paid. And he's like, who charges for autographs other than fucking actors? I mean, we're real people here. And so I had to go back to our booth and I comped him a fully cast autographed New Darkness Rising DVD.
I've never
and
seen it.
He, yeah, it's a little known show. Mm-hmm. And he took it and he was like, oh, wow, thanks. Before, when I totally shat all over your profession, I didn't mean you per se. And I'm like, no, I get it. $75 for Jean-Luc Picard's autograph, I've got a problem with. $75 to talk to Leonard Nimoy, $40 to go stand in line for 2.5 hours to see Ron Perlman, cash only, mind you, and another 20 if you want your cell camera to be able to take a picture with him. It's just insane and obscene, and I just like the fact that all the artists were there to do that for people without all that mumbo-jumbo handler bullshit.
I'm not as against it, because a lot of these guys aren't making money anymore anyway but that, and, you know, the cons are like, it's kind of their only opportunity to make money. Because the studio owns everything they do, essentially. So
yeah, that's true.
I'm not super against it. And generally, a lot of these guys are the kind of people that when you get out to, like if you meet them on the street, they're totally nice and will take pictures with you. It's just in the con, it's a business sort of thing. So,
right.
But the people who do it for free, because, you know, I mean, they're selling their product. They're selling their right. comics. The people who do it for free, I salute them very much because, you know, they're helping out the fans and they're
yeah.
really kind of, you know.
But there's a lot of people who aren't cool like that.
No, no, I mean, totally,
when we saw Will Wheaton at ECCC mm-hmm. and tried to get him a copy of Gamers Live, you mm-hmm. know, he was telling people, no, I can't take pictures. I'm really sorry. That's part of the
contract,
the management
right.
and the contract here and all right. this stuff. And I was able to get a copy of Gamers Live in his hand, and he turned around, thanks, oh yeah, I'll totally watch it. And he was, whether he does or doesn't matter. He took right. the time to be nice.
Right.
And there's other people that are totally not like that. Now, here's the name that I can't remember. Sam, I can't remember his name.
B. Peckinpah. B. Peckinpah.
No. No. He was in Fanboys.
Okay.
And
okay.
he was in the other one, Detroit Rock City.
Yes, yes.
Sam I know you're Harrington, Huntington.
I can't remember his name either.
He was there talking to the next name I'm going to drop, Jeff Carlisle.
Ah.
Sarah Moore, Sarah Korn, and I all were there. Sarah Moore has him lined up the next time he's in Chicago, might be on Gamer Chick.
Right.
She's going to give him the whole tour of the town.
Right.
Very nice person, had his handler there, totally talking. Of course, we were cool because we understand the mm-hmm. parameters and we didn't geek out all over him and right. commandeer him. Conversation while he was there just sort of turned into a conversation that we all took part in. So Jeff Carlisle is an awesome, awesome concept artist and illustrator who does a number of Star Wars is probably what he's most well known for. But he's got a lot of other, he's doing some work maybe for on some Star Trek stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some really great concepts for that. And took time to show Sarah and I through his iPad, basically, oh, like his entire sketchbook.
Oh, dude, that is everything. Awesome. That is so cool.
And I got 3 posters from him that are just magnificent, waiting to get framed, and they're going up on my wall.
Well, no, you got 2 posters from him and a piece of scrap paper.
Oh, yes.
That happens to be
colorful
amazing.
A piece of scrap paper with a small doodle on it that is really, really colorfully awesome. And then we shared a booth with Kill Vampire Lincoln.
Which, you know, that's history that I can get into. I can stick my teeth into that. That was I didn't want to make a pun. That was an accident, and I apologize. I apologize.
You don't apologize don't pull your punches.
oh,
yes.
I want to be emancipated from this conversation.
I can write a proclamation for that.
Good. Wonderful.
But we shared the booth with them, and it's not Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, it is
Kill Vampire Lincoln.
And they've got some really cool 70s themed movies.
That was my 70s music.
Yes, very nice. Products that they're doing with some awesome pimp robots and some spider-like transistor tube objects. And
nice.
It looks really fun. And they were lovely people to share the booth with. Just very gracious and very fun and very accommodating, and I just wanted to give a shout out to them. And I can't remember. I'm going to say Chris, and I'll probably get it horribly wrong, and if I did, I'm really sorry, Mr. whatever your name is that I'm substituting Chris for. But I remember Anne. She had awesome Batman socks that Damon Banhee would have cried for.
Were they the caped Batman socks?
Caped Batman socks.
So Caleb Bunch actually has Superman socks that are caped. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, Damon Van He wants to be Batman.
He does.
Occasionally is. Just
on
poor.
Occasion.
Just really poor. He's like...
Really he's poor Batman?
Oh, really poor, yeah. Yeah. He's like the yeah. Ross dressed for less Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
So...
he's Bruce Wayne with student debt.
Yeah, totally. So... that is excellent, and it sounds like you had a great time. And Chicago, thank you very much for hosting my furry buddy here.
And Matt Shivers.
And Matt Shivers
was also at the booth.
Well, that's a big name.
Yes.
Excellent. Very cool. Very cool.
How is it a big name?
I don't know.
Okay, it was his birthday today. And I already said happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday, Matt. if you're out there listening. So my week, while not as Chicago-y as yours, though still surprisingly windy, by the way. It was we actually had
and surprisingly calm on my end. Maybe that's what we exchanged. You got the wind, I got the city.
Thanks for that. So I got to film a bit.
Nice.
With the new camera, the new Blackmagic Cinema.
Blackmagic camera.
Wow.
Randall, you're working on the music from here on out.
Yeah, thanks. No, I was wowing the camera, but also... Yeah. So, I shot with the delightful boys from Hell Good Times. Gabe Congdon wrote a script that is actually autobiographical, about his attempt to secure the rights to a written piece by Barthelme to film. That was a really long sentence, but...
Wow, Barthelme.
Barthelme.
For those of us less educated than...
It's an amazing, amazing... he's an amazing writer who wrote these very sort of avant-garde pieces. It's like Kafka for kids. No, it's not quite like that, but, you know, crazy stuff. Anyway, so what happened is they contacted the publisher, offered them some money to film a piece, and didn't get any response. So in retaliation, you can adapt a piece for free. As long as you change more than 10%, you can adapt it for free. So he adapted a Barthelme piece into a piece talking about
Barthelme?
About getting no response from people trying to film Barthelme. It's amazing. So Aaron Buman was the DP for the thing. I ran Boom because... Because
I wasn't there.
I hate Booming so much, man. I hate it. You can kind of hear it, too. My loathing comes through the audio. Keeter made us the most delicious fucking lasagna. Oh, so good. But we basically had... This is Andat, okay? This is El Good Times. We had 14 pages. We shot 14 pages out in 6 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, that's with a break and setup and everything. So 6 hours of filming, we shot out 14 pages, including a 360-degree move, multiple pendulum moves and slides, and a sitting to standing follow up three stories of a set.
Wow.
Yeah, it was insane. So it was a lot of fun. Holy shit, raw footage is big. I knew it was going to be big. Knew it was going to be big. We ended up with 1 hour and 35 minutes, roughly, of footage. And that 1 hour and 35 minutes was 3/4 of a terabyte.
Wow.
So, yeah, shooting in RAW is expensive. But, holy crap, the image is beautiful.
But only expensive for storage.
Only for storage, yes. Well, the workflow is a little expensive, too, because it requires a lot more machine to run.
Sure. And but it's not costing you every time you do it. It's an initial investment cost.
Right. And I already have the machine. El Good Times. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mix down all of the footage for them. They'll do the edit, and then they'll send me the finalized stuff, and Buman will come over and we'll color it.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. It's so pretty.
Can't wait to see it.
Fully stage lit. So we used the stage lighting. We did lighting effects in camera that we could have never done with the SLR, because there's just we drop from overexposed to underexposed and retain all of the information. We don't lose, nothing gets crushed, nothing gets overblown. So I've been playing with it a little bit, and I know this is like, I'm geeking out about this, but if you imagine taking a photo and there's something that's just bright white in the photo because it's lit too hot, I was able to drop the levels down and all the detail was still there.
Nice.
On the DSLR, it would have just been a white spot that turned gray. But on this, it turned back to a fully detailed section.
Sweet.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Additionally, I'm currently staying up late tonight. Mm-hmm. Oh, so big news is, I guess, today was my last day at Microsoft.
Woohoo! Cue fanfare.
Now, don't get me wrong. I Microsoft's a great company.
Yes.
And I would be happy to potentially go back eventually if this doesn't work out, or this will work out. This is totally going to work out. But, you know, it's not that I disliked the company in any way. I was just really feeling like I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
So I have nothing but good things to say about that company. For the record.
This has to work out because I don't have a Microsoft to go back to.
I've heard. He does, in fact, have a Microsoft.
Not to put any pressure on you, but...
Christian told me a story. He was swimming once.
Okay. Enough. Enough. Okay. Christian and I will deal with loose lip sinking ships later. right now...
Oh, it's okay,
the important message...
Because you were swimming in poontang.
Hey. Okay. The water was cold. That's all I'm saying. I dare you to have... trying to think of what the opposite of micro is. Macro. Right?
I would assume. So, maybe that's one that's like...
I had a Microsoft because it was cold, but I defy you to
have a macro hard.
Yes. By the way, that was not rehearsed and said simultaneously.
We've been doing that a lot.
We have.
We got one of those last time, too.
We did.
Pretty good. Anyway, so... Microsoft rocks. Yes, Scott needs this to work out, but Scott's also a better actor than I am. So, by a lot. So I,
and yet, is true in theater, crew get paid, true. Talent be one dime a dozen. So
be what dime a dozen.
Yeah.
So, all right. I want to be what dime a dozen. And I want to get my dimes. For doing this, and
yes,
hopefully this works out. So that being said, last day at Microsoft, so I'm staying up tonight.
Yes.
Why am I staying up tonight, Scott? I'll tell you why, Scott.
I don't know, but it's 11:38 or so, and he's already slammed like two rock stars and mainline three lines of Coke. So he is bouncing off the walls, my friends.
In fairness, one was a rock star, one was a folk singer.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm staying up late tonight. I hate you so much. I'm staying up late tonight because tomorrow night I've got a gig filming behind the scenes for FreeFly's new movie camera stabilization system.
Sweet.
So we've got some friends in Session 7 Media, Sam Nutman, Keith Bowling,
mm-hmm.
and they are currently very instrumental in FreeFly's marketing section. Sam's handling on-site demos, and Keith is doing a lot of filming for it. And if you don't know what the FreeFly is, go to freeflysystems.com and check out the MOVI, M with an over bar,
mm-hmm.
The MOVI movie stabilization system. It is voodoo.
So it's like Movi.
It's like Movi.
Is what they're...
It's, yeah.
Is their pronunciation.
Yes,
and exactly. Helping you with the sure. logo.
I guess.
But it's wicked. I mean, oh. it deserves its own word. Movi is fine with me because it is the shizzy.
So yeah, it's a very amazing gimbaled stabilization system that looks like magic when you see it in action. It's... People are on roller skates getting smoother shots than... $20,000 stabilization rigs. It's gorgeous, and I can't wait to play with it. And so that shoot is tomorrow night from midnight until 5 a.m.
Mm.
Yeah.
They need sound for that?
I'll check.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're... I mean, I don't know what you have going on Thursday morning.
But I really don't have a lot going on. Really, just kind of... Well, hold it. That involves work. Oh, we promised we weren't going to do that anymore.
Nope.
Because really, I like to work. You know, I just like to work at what I like to do.
I know. And if they ever pay for that...
God, I'm never leaving this room.
So much Kleenex.
Well.
Oh, sorry. Kleenex is a brand name.
Yes. Tissue.
So much tissue.
Gross. I'll have Jermaine come over here. Give me a tissue. We'll see how many people get that reference.
Yeah, indeed.
Seth, you do not need to catalog him.
Seth probably won't be cataloging this one. So we wish Seth the best. Seth is going in for a procedure, battery change.
Oh.
Yeah, so our dear Seth will likely be late on the links on this guy, and I don't care because... In fact,
you know what? Let's make this a link-free episode.
This is a link-free episode. This is like that game. This is like that 3DO Zelda game. No link.
No link.
So
this will be the
he's going to link that, by the way.
Link Master General is taking a little time off.
Yeah, and well deserved. Well earned.
What do they call it? A bivouac? No. What do they call it in the military?
Bivouac?
Bivouac?
Sure.
Yeah, but that's not what it is. I'm thinking of something else, like a vacation, but it's not a vacation.
Shore leave?
Yes. Yes, Link Master General is taking some well-deserved shore leave right
R&R.
Now.
R&R, he's taking R&R.
R&R,
yeah.
Okay.
So, sorry, military people, we're not military people. No. And I'm pretty sure you don't take shore leave in the Army. I'm going to say
like bivouac.
Marines, Navy, sure.
Navy,
I don't think Air Force even takes shore leave. They get grounded.
Oh.
Well, yeah. That's if they do something bad.
Fine, R&R.
Right, R&R.
I was trying to be witty.
Something about clicks. So that's kind of what happened this week. Keep your eyes out on our site. There's going to be a couple of hopefully posts soon, sort of showing what we got out of the raw footage. And I'm very excited for that. Tonight, we also had a Rude Mechanical meeting.
We did.
That was crazy. Because we talked quite a bit about what we're going to do with this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say anything
with the upcoming season.
With the upcoming season. I don't want to say anything aside from the fact that you had five people very passionate about this project. I mean,
it's only getting better from here, people.
It is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And a little surprise for you Scott C. Brown lovers will be all one of you. Which is Scott C. Brown, by the way. You do listen to
if no one loves himself, who will?
Back to tissues. So we'll be briefing you a little bit more on that.
I hate you so much.
I love you too. So additionally,
I wanted to give a couple shout outs to some Chicago podcast folk. So
Padcast.
The Medium Bus Podcast, which is at www.themediumbus.com. I met some of the gentlemen there. They're also on Facebook and Twitter, also The Media Bus there. Great bunch of guys. And they have, I kid you not, I'm looking at the business card right now. It's candy for your ear hole.
God damn it.
So I'm going on record now that we took that first because the reference on this podcast series was made to ear holes first before I read this card. So it's ours, Medium Bus.
How long have they been?
I'm going to turn you into the short bus. How's that? I don't know how long they've been podcasting, but fuck it. Ear holes is ours. I'll talk to them. They're lovely people.
Yeah.
Another one that I actually appeared on with Ann Kennedy. Yes, Ann Kennedy was there.
Is it Ann Kennedy Brady?
Ann Kennedy Brady. More Brady than you, I believe, is her Twitter handle.
Oh.
Which I thought was hilarious. Is Cinema Jaw.
Cinema Jaw.
And they're at cinemajaw.com. And they are the greatest movies podcast ever.
How did you get that one over Brian? I mean, you were there, obviously, but
yeah.
Cinema Jaw seems like the place Brian Lewis should...
Right,
go
but
podcast.
Brian Lewis wasn't there. And since mine was covered in beardy goodness,
right.
I just decided to tell them that, hey, my jaw is just as epic as Brian's. You just can't see it right now. And so I got on. And Ann Kennedy's just cute as a button, so why wouldn't she be on there?
Yeah, behind Scott C. Brown's beard is another fist, but that fist is pretty limp.
Not quite sure where that goes.
If you hear sneaking, it's Bo Pritchard. He's like...
He's cracking beers, wearing my shirts, as always.
Being really loud while we're recording the podcast, like some kind of Kiwi bastard. Hi, Bo. Love you. They can't hear you wave.
He's getting tissues.
Do you want to come say hi? He's getting tissues. Oh, gross. So
get out of my bedroom, Bo.
Why is Bo in your bedroom?
Because we said tissues.
I'm just trying to eavesdrop, you guys. I want to hear the magic happen.
Well, is throw up a new eave, sir?
Well, come in and get come on in, on yeah, the mic so that we can hear you.
Can rock the mic, right? You don't have to rock
we
the
have
mic.
We have to audition you because all right, this you is, may be the fill-in.
No, he's going to be the fill-in. He's going to be the cream fill-in.
He may be the creamy fill-in, but...
I really didn't want to intrude. I just wanted to eavesdrop. I'm sorry.
No, I know. And we knew that, so we brought you into this because evil that way.
Yeah, okay. So this is about capitalizing on discomfort.
Yes.
Exactly.
Outstanding.
All right. Wonderful. If we're going to do this for hours on end on a weekly basis, we are going to invite others to be there with us.
As a regular listener, haven't missed an issue. I have to say
their
that
episodes, their episodes, Bo.
The more hours, the better.
Okay.
If I speak for your fan base, if I can't hang out with your fuzzy selves, I can put it on my iPod and take your fuzzy selves with me.
Well, if that isn't the pot calling the kettle, Harry, you fucking fuzzy Kiwi bastard.
Because no one is presently downloading my fuzziness.
I do not want you to send me a link to that torrent.
No, let's just stop all right. Right there.
Well, thank you, Bo. Thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Thank
bye, Bo.
You can't give me a wink either. You're welcome. Thank you. Love the show, guys. Thanks. Big fan.
Long time listener, first time intruder.
So next week or the next podcast episode issue eight to the Kiwi
issue.
Issue number eight. We'll have guest podcaster host extraordinaire
Bo M.K. Pritchard,
because Andy is taking some well deserved R&R.
I'm taking a bivouac. I'm gonna go bivouac off and get my ass to Boise, Idaho.
I'm gonna vacation in Boise, Idaho.
Hey, you know what? I'm seeing my kids.
I know.
And that awesome. Is always a vacation. Those guys rock. So, yep.
Hey, do they listen to this?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
No.
Just checking.
No. Their mom might, so. She's pretty cool. But they don't listen to this.
Okay.
I would assume. Michael, if you're listening, go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. And please forgive Uncle Scott's swear words.
Don't forgive Uncle Scott, ever.
So...
the next few weeks are going to be kind of rocky overall, so we might be a little late again, because you may have heard we are going to Canada.
Oh, Canada. Blame Canada. No, oh, can't.
It's oh, Canada, oh, our home and native land. Land. True patriot love and all thy sons command. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true north. Strong and free from far and wide, O Canada. We stand on guard for thee. Yeah. You're the Canadian. You should know this.
I should. I just wanted to see if you did. And you did well. Congratulations. Oh, yeah. You deserve back bacon. Maple syrup.
Maple syrup.
And the official title, hoser.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I've ever wanted to be called. So we'll, because of our travels and the potentially spotty internet situation... Hopefully these will all be on time.
Yeah.
But...
I'm bringing the lappy.
The lappy.
The lappy.
Nice.
And maybe we bring the whole...
Maybe we bring the whole... I don't know, whatever.
I think we could take some carry on.
We could probably take some carry on. I'm going to see what I can do about getting Ben to take my equipment, so...
Okay, yeah.
Because I'm going early, remember.
Right, but isn't Ben going with you early?
Someone is. Yeah, maybe. It's probably Ben, yeah.
Yeah.
So
we'll get your equipment up there, and
we'll get it up there. Then,
and
yeah, we'll see
either way, we will have them out on our typical Monday or somewhere.
Yeah, worst case scenario, we'll use the shotguns to record, and it'll be a little lower quality, but we'll still get it out there for you guys.
Yeah, you don't care, just as long as we're in your ear holes.
Hey, maybe
making pretty sounds.
Whoop. Maybe we can get the Canadian crew to spot us a spot in their studio.
Yeah, perhaps. So
I know that Nick Montgomery, at least, is he part of this crew? Yeah,
he's going to be VFX.
Yeah, he's got a really nice what's it called? Blue is the name of the company that makes the mic.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I forget the model of the mic, but it's the really nice podcasting mic. So yeah, maybe we'll just do that.
Yeah,
It'd be fine with me.
Who knows? But one way or another, we will not leave you.
We will find you. We will get you, get you, get you.
And infiltrate your ear holes.
You're really trying to own Blondie? This ear hole thing. Yeah, I wish I was doing Blondie.
Yeah, who doesn't? Debbie Harry. Love you, baby.
Not so much. I've seen a picture of her. Surprisingly smooth.
Took me a minute. Sorry.
took me half a minute, my friend.
I think all the audience
I don't know
is
even,
with me in that going.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So Debbie Harry and Joan Jett, they got me through my adolescence.
Yeah, I love rock and roll.
Put another dime in the jukebox, Andy. As always.
What the fuck jukebox are you using these days, man? It's like a dollar a song now.
Oh, yeah. Actually, the jukebox I was referring to is probably about 100 an hour. Anyway, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like two offensive words. You made an offensive compound word for this pun.
Yep.
Gross.
Yeah.
Tissues.
So anyway, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're not totally offended now.
Hey, we're all Stardust, buddy. We're all Stardust.
We are all Stardust.
From balls to bone, we're Stardust. Please come on our podcast, Neil.
And I'm going to try to say this once. Mm-hmm. Lola, Noelle, Athena, Jesse, Godspeed. Love you, girls.